With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The newest Houston Texan, one of the newest Houston Texans, is wide receiver Randall Cobb, who had some really good years in Green Bay, was injured towards the end of his time in Green Bay, had a one-year, $5 million kind of prove-it deal with the Cowboys last year, and had a nice season. He was probably the fourth or fifth weapon down the chart for what was a pretty explosive offense in Dallas, but Randall Cobb had a nice season last year. He's being thrust into a pretty prominent role with the Texans on the heels of the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and given the money that he got, he met with the media on Friday. And here's what he had to say about why he chose the Texans.
At this point in my career, that I still don't have a ring. So, you know, I want to be in a situation where I have that possibility. And, you know, I think when you look at the son and what he's been able to do since he's been in the league, I've been really impressed from afar watching him. He has tremendous ability, and he's a winner. You know, he's won at every level, from high school to college to, you know, I think he has that ability to take us to a Super Bowl, and I want to be a part of something special with him.
Seth, I know we're going to get into what Randall Cobb can bring to the offense here in a second, and I was on that conference call as you were on Friday, and I can see why the Texans, and particularly Bill O'Brien, who seems to really be into the, you know, the personality of guys as much as it is the quality of play, for better or worse, that's what he's into. I could see what he would like about Randall Cobb based on a lot of the answers that he gave and his demeanor and so forth. When he says that a big reason why I came here is Deshaun Watson, I expect a lot of guys to say that over the next several years. What that's supposed to allow you to do, though, is to sign the Randall Cobbs of the world to the contract he got last year in Dallas, 1 year, $5 million, not 3 years, $27 million, probably, you know, 50% higher than what he may have gotten from any other team in the league.
Yeah. And you know what I do here? My reflex that I have is to say, well, all right, well, but the Texans are still in good cap shape. They've got plenty of room to sign Laremy Tunsil, Deshaun Watson. And then I need to slap myself on the hand and say, stop it, Seth, because this is the road to hell. This is the road to cap hell, and this is the road to roster weakness. It's by saying every step along the way, well, we can get away with this. You know, well, we can get away with overpaying a little bit here. Well, we can get away with trading this guy for less than he's worth. And that's where the Randall Cobb signing is. I like the fact that Deshaun Watson will have an actual genuine slot receiver, a veteran that knows what he's doing, that's going to run the right routes and make the right adjustments. But, yeah, it's hard to think that they couldn't have gotten Randall Cobb for less money. So, but yeah, I'm going to do what I always do and say, well, let's see how it works out. Maybe it'll be a bargain over time.
But this is the pattern, though, with O'Brien, yeah, as the general manager, which is the pattern is, yeah, I like having this guy. I just don't like that you paid twice as much. I love having Laremy Tunsil as the left tackle for this football team. I don't like not having a first-round pick until 2022. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Jacob Martin made some plays in the playoffs, and I like having Gary and Conley. Oh, you gave up Jadeveon Clowney to get – Seth, I am sure there are things that I'm going to like about whoever they use the 40th pick on, and I'm guessing David Johnson will do a few things for the Texans this year. That's great. I like having them. I don't like having had to have given up the best receiver in football to get those things. And that's the thing. That's the thing that a team – boy, and that's the danger, is this is what, in a weird way, and this isn't Deshaun's fault for being awesome, this is what Deshaun Watson allows a mediocre general manager to go do, is make moves where you go, yeah, it's cool having this guy around, but we're going to overpay for all these moves. And then the weight of the world is on Deshaun Watson to cover up all these flaws that are ultimately going to be created over the next 2 years. You know, when this team doesn't have $50 million in cap space and has no first round picks.
You know, what's interesting is that one thing you'll hear from some receivers when they go to certain places is also, yeah, I wanted a chance to work with this offensive coordinator. And maybe I missed it. Did Randall Cobb address that? I didn't hear it in any of the clips
No.
I listened to. Yeah,
No.
That, you know, people talk about going to San Francisco and they gush about Kyle Shanahan and how awesome it is because he gets guys wide ass open. And O'Brien and Tim Kelly obviously don't have the relationship. It's all about Deshaun and what can Deshaun do. But again, I'm going to try to put on my optimist mask and say maybe this will be the year that changes. And Randall Cobb, I will say I understand what Bill O'Brien is going for. I think he wants Deshaun to have more reliable weapons. The stories about DeAndre not practicing, you know, DeAndre shows up on Sunday, but I think Bill O'Brien's concern is, yes, but we want as many guys out there practicing every day as possible because that's how Deshaun really understands and gets to be one of these timing and rhythm passers like a Drew Brees, like a Peyton Manning.
Yeah, well, and look, if Deshaun is buying into that, or if maybe even Deshaun is the one saying, this is what I need, then maybe everybody getting concerned over these rap lyrics that he's tweeting and whatnot is just a false concern. And that everything, I think ultimately Deshaun Watson signing a big deal here. I'm not as worried about it as some are. So more from Randall Cobb. This one was interesting. We'll get into how O'Brien sees Randall Cobb being used in just a second. But one of the answers, Seth, where I perked up, and sadly enough, it was the word hamstring that made me perk up when I heard him say this. But Randall Cobb, one of his issues at the end in Green Bay was his hamstring. And we know there have been a lot of hamstring issues with the Houston Texans. Here's what he had to say.
The offseason workouts that I went through with Dallas, I think definitely, helped keep me healthy. I think I built a lot of strength, especially my hamstrings. Whenever I got to Dallas, I was told that my hamstrings were really weak, and that was the first time that I had been told that in my career. So being able to build that strength and stay on the field, I felt really, really good this past year. I would say it was probably the best I've felt in the past 5-6 years.
All right, so Seth, the training camp battle that I'm watching, assuming there is a training camp, is Randall Cobb's newly strengthened bionic hamstrings versus the Houston hamstring hex. That's the training camp battle that I'm watching.
I know. I found myself getting really excited when I heard him say that because you think, okay, well, here's a concrete reason for why 2019 was so much better than his previous few years. Maybe he just found that extra juice, and maybe it was more than just he was playing alongside Amari Cooper and on a better built foundation of an offense than he'd had in Green Bay for the last few years. Maybe it was just that he was physically better. So, and I think that still remains true. Yeah, the question is, all right, whatever Dallas is doing for their hamstrings up there, are the Texans similarly taking care of these guys'
yes.
hamstrings? Because why the hell are the hamstrings always an issue?
What are your trade secrets, Randall Cobb? Share them with Will Fuller, please. Do you think, honestly, Seth, just not to go too far off of Cobb here, but the Texans are relying heavily on Will Fuller. With this move, that, at least for 1 year, with the move that they made with Hopkins, Fuller gets elevated to being the most dangerous weapon in the receiving core. Is there any chance that they know something we don't know about what Will Fuller is doing this offseason differently than anything he's done in the previous offseasons?
I think that perhaps, I'm sure they've talked to him about it, you know, and from place to place, injury prevention is such a shot in the dark sometimes, and everybody's got some proprietary method to sell you about how they understand that the hamstring to quad ratio is the most important thing in the world, and this is how you'll never have another hamstring issue again. I think some guys try to sell it as more science than there actually is, but I will say that some teams are still pretty primitive in how they address biomechanical issues and everything. So maybe the Texans have just had really bad luck with hamstrings. If it's not just bad luck, I would hope that they figured something out this offseason. I know Will Fuller's been leaving no stone unturned in terms of how he's going to address his offseason preparation. And hopefully they know that for Randall Cobb. The problem now is, and a lot of NFL teams are dealing with this right now, is whatever great training regimens they have, guys are completely on their own right now. You know, yeah, they're doing, yeah. they're working out with TRX bands. You can't go to a gym. I read this article. It was Peter King's column. Chandler Jones out in Arizona has a really nice home gym, and he's not letting any of his teammates come use it. He's like, nope, there's not. He's completely self-quarantined. Yeah. So I don't know how much – that's what I'd be worried about. You think, okay, Randall Cobb's an older guy. He's not that old, but he's been in the league a long time. And hopefully he's more mature and responsible. And whatever protocol he had with the Cowboys, hopefully he's still doing it right now for his hamstring.
The hamstring thing feels like something that Luke Richeson was brought in for 2 years ago. Remember that was the big name? Easterby was the big name this past offseason. Remember two offseasons ago, Seth, when Luke Richeson, who went back to Denver after 1 year, he was supposed to be like the all-around player health guru. Remember McClain saying they had to outbid a bunch of people to get Luke Richeson in here and get him. And then he was gone after a year. The hamstring thing feels like something that Luke Richeson had a bunch of files on it, and he took those files with him when he went back to Denver. And now nobody knows how to fix a hamstring in the building. Like, what? How do we fix this Fuller hamstring? I don't know. Richeson took the manual with him to rub some dirt on it. I have no idea.
Richeson, it was almost, I know that it was very minimalist. Like, he wasn't, I think it was a lot of kind of the old getting in touch with your body and the way it moves and everything, which is actually really cool, some of the stuff that people are doing now. But it wasn't old school, hardcore, you know, hoist a bunch of weight up as quickly as you can type of movements. Yeah. And who knows? Like I said, it's a whole lot of marketing. Sean, TB12. You know what bothers me? I swear, Sean, I never heard about people having core issues until everybody started doing core exercises
right.
all the time. You had all these guys, ever since they started in with the core conditioning in the early 2000s, late 90s, it's been a steady onslaught of sports hernias. I don't know if the term sports hernia even existed before 1999, but now it's like every team has two or three of them a year. And all these guys, I used to do workouts with some of these guys. They're like, why are you spending a half hour doing something that a lot of your stabilizing muscles in your core and everything get just as much of a workout just from doing major massive exercises, and you don't have to spend 30 minutes afterwards and then get a sports hernia from it. Anyway, now I'm being like that offensive line coach for the Browns.
Oh, Wiley.
Yeah. Remember when Bob Wiley didn't understand why people had to warm up. You know, they didn't warm up before D-Day, so why do football players have to warm up?
Yeah. You know, that's what I was going to say, Seth. You know who's never had a core problem? Me.
Yeah.
So more from Randall Cobb. I was glad to hear this. Well, I was glad to hear this towards the end of the conference call. I'm going to let Seth vet the how much truth there is or if there should be any concern over the response to this. But Randall Cobb was asked, has he talked to any or reached out to any of his new teammates?
No, not really. You know, I reached out to Deshaun. Me and him text back and forth a little bit. I used to train with Kenny Stills a little bit, so I've been talking to him, you know, still trying to get in touch with Fuller and some of the other guys. So I'm going to try to get their numbers here shortly so I can, you know, reach out and just call them and check in and everything. But no, obviously it's some president time.
Yeah, that part, I kind of put myself in his shoes. When somebody asks you a question like that and you know what they want to hear, because, you know, everybody, Tom Brady asked for the text numbers of all his teammates.
Right.
And listen to this. Well, this is the veteran leadership you need. I don't know. I don't think Randall Cobb maybe sees himself as that guy that's all of a sudden. It's a tricky spot. Unless you are a bona fide, like, all-pro or a guy that's been on a bunch of championship teams or whatever, when you all of a sudden step in, and you haven't actually met people face to face, but to call them up and try to take on that role as a leader, sometimes it feels a little artificial if you try to do that. It's different when it's a quarterback or somebody like that. That part of it is interesting. I would have liked to have heard that he wanted to reach out to those guys strictly, not as a leader, but just to pick their brains about what he needs to get ready for. Yeah, that's the part that I would have liked to hear.
Yeah. The part I was most glad to hear in that answer was that he is texting with Deshaun. You know, that's the thing. If Seth, if if there is any discontent with Deshaun, and again, I'm on the record as saying I think he's going to sign a big contract here, and I think he's going to be here a long, long time. I'm not saying that that means he's happy they traded DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not even saying that that means he thinks that Bill O'Brien is a good general manager. None of those things. We know what he has said on the record about Bill O'Brien, and it's been positive. I think Deshaun's going to be here for a long, long time. But if there were to be a sign that maybe Deshaun had maybe unplugged a little bit from being the leader for the team, I would have been concerned if Randall Cobb had not communicated with Deshaun Watson at this point. Where if the answer to that question was, no, you know, because he signed a week ago, or more than a week ago. At the point of the press conference, he had signed 9 days ago. If 9 days in, he had not communicated with Deshaun Watson, I would have taken that as a bad sign on the Deshaun side of things. That Deshaun, and maybe Randall Cobb made the first effort and Deshaun's just been replying to him, and my concern maybe has some validity to it. But to your point about quarterbacks, that does feel like something that is the role of a quarterback, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that any offensive player you bring in, maybe not to the degree of these backup swing tackles or whatever, but Deshaun strikes me as a guy who would text a backup swing tackle. But definitely with Randall Cobb, a guy that plays a position where you're going to need supreme chemistry with. He's a veteran guy who commands some respect. That if the answer had been, no, I haven't really texted with anybody yet, I hope to talk to Deshaun at some point, that would concern me, actually.
What if Randall Cobb has texted Deshaun and all of Deshaun's texts back have been things like, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams.
Can you? I've been texting with Deshaun, but it's strange. He keeps texting me cryptic rap lyrics.
Randall's like, hey, what's up, Deshaun? I'm excited to come play football with you this year. Don't deal with the lies and the frauds. That's why I don't get involved. What's up?
Yeah, I've been texting with Deshaun. He's kind of weird. I'm gonna
tell you. He likes. I've gotten nothing but what is it? Who's the? Well, the first one was Drake. Oh, Lil Uzi. Lil Uzi was the other one.
Yeah, Lil Uzi. It's funny. One more from Randall Cobb. Who did the choice come down to in terms of teams, and what were the conversations like with Bill O'Brien?
It was a tough decision to make. You know, but hearing what my agent was telling me about Coach O'Brien and the opportunity that he wanted to give me to kind of do some of the things that I did when I was back in Green Bay was one of the main reasons that I jumped at the offer.
Okay, that's interesting. And now it came down to Dallas or Houston. That was in a previous cut that we didn't play. It was the Cowboys and the Texans who were serious about Randall Cobb. The interesting thing there, Seth, is the way Cobb laid that out is O'Brien laid out to Cobb's agent how he was going to be used. And then it sounds like that's where Cobb got the, hey, in talking to my agent, this is how Bill O'Brien said I was going to be used. Do I trust the agent to translate properly how a slot receiver is used in Bill O'Brien's offense?
Right, and I wondered about that in terms of, was he talking as specifically as what types of routes? Or is it more in line with, okay, just actual quantity and how many targets? Because, you know, Dallas, he got about three times as many targets between 10 and 20 yards past the line of scrimmage, so that intermediate range, than he did in Green Bay in the previous 3 years. So he was actually used more aggressively downfield in Dallas than he was in Green Bay, but maybe part of his comfort zone wants to be more of that genuine slot receiver and a guy that's used more close to the line of scrimmage. I don't know. Or maybe perhaps being used out of the backfield more the way he was in Green Bay at times, because they didn't use him. They barely used him out of the backfield at all in Dallas.
Yeah, boy, that's a shocking stat to me. They used him three times as much in that intermediate range in Dallas as they did in Green Bay. And the reason it doesn't shock me in terms of the quality of player, like I don't know that he's three times the player he was in Dallas that he had been towards the end in Green Bay, but that he was targeted that much more in Dallas when they have so many weapons there, right? Like it'd be one thing, like that to me is a stat where the guy goes and he becomes the primary target of a quarterback. They had Amari Cooper. They had Michael Gallup. They had the tight ends they were using there. Ezekiel Elliott out of the backfield that they use a lot in the passing game. It's a surprising and an encouraging stat for me at the same time.
Yeah, and I think also, too, just looking at him using – and actually, Dallas, they did – Dallas – in Green Bay, they were using him out of the backfield a lot And in Dallas last year, they used them one time out of the backfield. So just perhaps maybe in terms of the creativity and different ways to get them involved and how much they use motion to get them loose pre-snap, I think maybe the Texans told him more of what he was doing back in Green Bay back when he was more productive, 2014, 15, 16, as opposed to the last couple of years before he was gone.
Yeah, I have no idea how productive he's going to be or how good a player he is. Likeability scale, Seth, I give him a solid 8.7 on a scale of 1 to 10. Very likable, Randall.
He's a true veteran when it comes to that. Hey, you said that you had mentioned earlier that you had a hard time trying to get a question in on that conference call because you wanted to respect the job of the beat reporters that are there all the time at press conferences and everything.
Right.
Do you find yourself at press conferences trying to squeeze in, like trying to figure out when the last couple questions are going to be? So like you're one of those guys, but then sometimes all of a sudden the PR person says, all right, that's it. And then off they whisk them away.
I'll say this about the Texans is they're usually pretty good about for example, on the conference call, Amy Palsik was on the conference call and she didn't just say, okay, it's over. She said, okay guys, two more questions. So you're right. Then like it's, you're at the end of the runway at that point. And even at that point, I kind of defer because I'm like, all right, maybe these people have stuff they need for their column. It's just easier when it's in person than it is when it's on a conference call and you can see everybody. You can kind of read the room a little bit at a press conference.
Yeah.
And I think for you, I've been at press conferences with you, and I think you being a former player helps. I think there's a respect level for you as a former player in there that both with the subject of the conference call or the press conference, whether it's a coach or a player, as well as the other people in the room.
Yeah. I wonder how that's going to work this year. My wife's got me slimming down. I might not look as much like a football player. Then you don't get as much respect from the players. Sometimes the young guys will look at you and be like, oh, he probably played. Where like now, once I get down a little lighter, it's just like, wow, that guy was probably a cross country runner.
Seth, have you looked at the room at a Texans press conference? They're not exactly a bunch of giants in there. You could drop like 50 pounds and you're still going to be the only one that looks like a former football player in the
room. That's a good point.
Yeah. So Randall Cobb met with the media on Friday. So who do we have left? We still have Eric Murray that we need to – we still have Bill O'Brien that we need to hear from at some point so he can explain all of these moves. That's the big one.
We got Bill O'Brien. We've got Jack Easterby, right? And at some point, all these other signings and even the re-signings sometimes. I'd like to maybe – we should just set something up with Bradley Roby.
Yes. I think it's a good idea. I think we should hear from Bradley Roby. What were his other – I don't know. Would he have even known what his other opportunities were? Because he signed before the legal tampering period. I'm guessing he would have, right? Like these guys know. They're able to fish around.
You can't really say it, though. I've noticed. Yeah, but everybody's been super careful, including now this is a thing. Agents are talking all the time to teams and they have multiple clients. So like nobody's ever going to be able to show or prove that, oh, this agent had a conversation with this team. So they must have been talking about this client that they shouldn't have been talking about. It's just that's going to happen. As far as the team itself talking to players, it really sounds like Tampa Bay abided by all the rules when they were courting Tom Brady, and that Tom Brady didn't talk to them until the appropriate time. And Brady, it was interesting because Brady had already done all his homework, and he knows probably as much about Tampa Bay as Tampa Bay knows about Tampa Bay by the time he's on the phone with him. But I think the fact that some teams have been pinched and they've lost serious draft capital because of it, because of tampering, I think teams are probably pretty careful when it comes down to communicating with a player because they can't trust that the player is going to keep his yap shut all the time.
I'm guessing, too, with that one, that boy, the Brady one's interesting, Seth, because I'm guessing, too, that Brady would, of all players, Brady, A, probably has the luxury of being able to play it clean like that, not having to really read the market ahead of time because he's the greatest player of all time. B, my guess is that Brady didn't want there to be any dirt at all on his leaving New England in terms maybe some clandestine talking to other teams and stuff like that, because he's A, wanting to distance himself from the dirtiness of the Patriots, and B, he still has maybe some would say unfairly dirt on his hands from the Deflategate thing. So my hunch is that if there's any player who has the luxury of and the desire to play it clean on his way out going to another team, it's going to be Tom Brady.
Well, plus, you know, he knows that Robert Kraft will file a tampering charge too.
Hell yeah.
So he doesn't want to hurt his new team or add anything to that, because Robert Kraft, you know, Robert Kraft would talk to Tom and say, Tom,
that's right,
I'm looking forward to coming down and visiting you and going to Mons Venus, maybe in Tampa while I'm there. But also, we don't appreciate the way you tamper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Brady's in Florida, because we can go to the Orchids of Asia spa together. Radio.com, radio.com rewind, smart speakers, streaming live on our website, sportsradio610.com. These are all ways that you can continue to consume the show, and probably will need to consume the show that way if you're somebody who's staying at home over these next several weeks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.